Thank you for tuning in to New Jersey Revolution Radio for this Community Cannabis Forum, hosted at the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, 931 Amboy Avenue, sponsored by Help Not Handcuffs and Hub City Smokes, located at 84 Patterson Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey. In this episode, we join our panel discussion, featuring the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune, Dr. Katerina Sedilla, Hugh Giordano from UFCW 152, and New Jersey Revolution Radio's own, Brian Powers. If you're interested in hosting a community cannabis forum, email us, info@njrevolutionradio.com.
I'm going to have a little small section coming up with Hugh Giordano and Brian Powers coming up, and we're going to finish it. You don't have to go nowhere. We're going to sit right there. We're going to add to the conversation, and we're going to have a round table right now. Anyone have any questions for the weed man?
I didn't bring any with me.
Liar. Liar. That's all right. I got some.
Well, I was about to say.
All right. I think this question's on all of our minds, but what is the most effective thing that we can do to try and influence what that question's going to be? You know, as a grassroots movement, what can we do?
I think, again, contact your senators, the assemblymen. Like I said, my list is, I call it the shithead list, but you can call your list anything. You can, we got the internet now. You can write a letter and bam, send it off to 40 of them at a time. I think showing up at their offices has influences, because even if they're not there, you show up, and trust me, I've done it. You show up at their office, and their secretary, they all tell, like, hey, Assemblyman Reed, guess what? Guess who showed up today? And they'll tell them. And I think that's direct action, I think. You know, myself, direct action.
Yeah, direct action, it gets the goods. I think you got to start off by believing that you can change the law. I think there's a lot of attitude that, you know, and I was talking to Carol Gay earlier on the pre-show about this with the millionaire's tax, about, well, the politicians kind of decided this is how it's going to be, so let's pick a politician and root for them, as opposed to doing the grassroots work, coming out to the coffee shops, going out to the churches, you know, going around Trenton and doing demonstrations and gathering a grassroots base. The problem why the law was so crappily written was because it was written by millionaires, Goldman Sachs, Phil Murphy's buddies, and Trenton politicians. And they did not come to Camden. They did not come to Trenton. They didn't go to Atlantic City. They didn't go to Newark, because they don't care about those communities. They never have cared about those communities. So I think the way to affect the positive changes, not just in this law, but in any law, is to understand our power as a proletariat and our power as working class people or as activists or people who, quite frankly, are listened to much more seriously than a politician. I think when I talk to my friends and family, they take me more seriously than Nick Scutari or Phil Murphy, who I consider clowns. But I know that I can impact my friends and family much better. So it's that grassroots organizing where laws actually start, you know?
So you think that we should approach a particular candidate that's in the lane, pick one of those ones that's in the lane that's best suited to fighting?
No, I don't think we should pick a politician at all.
Okay.
I think we should drag out guillotines to take care of politicians and run this country for ourselves without them.
Okay.
Because quite frankly, they're the ones writing all these crappy laws. You take them out of the equation, me and Ed could write a great law.
I believe that.
And we'd be high as fuck while we did it too.
But what would that matter? As long as you write a law that's beneficial to the people, who cares if you was high while you was writing it? I mean...
How many people have followed Senator Rice?
Who can follow Senator Rice?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sex toys. Senator Rice, though... you missed that? Oh, I bet you can find it on Google. Just put Senator Rice sex toys. I don't know. No. Type it. And look at the audio. Listen to the audio. You will really laugh. Now, when I first heard him say that, I can't even repeat it because I can't repeat it. My mother brought me up better. But I can't repeat it. But... At first, I thought, man, this clown, what the hell? What's wrong with him? But then I went to his office, And I talked to him. To be honest with you, he reminds me of the preachers that I had when I was a kid. He does remind me of that. He reminds me of the old black guy who's set in his ways, and you got to just kind of like coach him a little bit. And the couple times I've talked to him, he's a lot more open to it than that audio that everybody hears says. And some of the things he says actually line up with some of the things I say when it talks about social equity and all. He recognizes that he thinks that marijuana is still the drug of the devil and all that. You know, he has that the church perspective of it, right? So that's how he thinks. But at the same time, like listen, like the man has used this law to devastate your community. And now's an opportunity to take that law away. So you got to support it. And he is open to that, but he just still thinks that then what I just said about the cannabaggers, he thinks that too. Mm-hmm. He thinks these corporations, these dudes are going to come to his town and just pillage his town and rape and grab all the money and leave all his, you know, the people there, and they're not going to hire people from his town. There are going to be all these people. So that's how he's thinking. But again, I say, all right, fine. You zone and regulate a can of business into your neighborhood. You make attachments and riders to it where they have to hire from certain zip codes or, you know, certain towns in order to hire a police officer. The police officer has to live in that town. Like, all right, make that. And the towns are always given, what do they call that?
Subsidies.
No, not subsidies. When they basically give land to a corporation to come and build on that. Like they do it to Amazon all the time. Tax rebates or whatever. Put all these riders in it they have to hire from local. And I think you can convince a guy like Reed. I mean,
Rice.
Oh, Rice.
And Rice also, I believe I spoke to him too, and he supports decriminalization, not legalization. And I do think that if we're talking about crafting a question, it probably also needs to be discussed, because what people oftentimes overlook with legalization argument is even in the States was legalized recreational adult use cannabis, you can still get arrested for it.
Yeah, well,
if
I
you
know.
Didn't buy it through the, you know, right. correct distribution channels. If we're looking at decriminalization, that's a different story. You cannot get arrested for any drug, and this is what Rice actually supports.
Right. Yeah, so when you talk,
I did want to bring up the putting something on the ballot. There's a couple problems. I don't think the governor can put it on the ballot. You have to do it by 2/3 majority or two votes of a majority of both houses. So I don't know that in New Jersey that you can trigger it through a governor just saying so. That you also can't do it by public referendum, because I know I've tried it. And the big problem is, as we sit here and we talk about, you know, whether or not to pass a ballot referendum, they did that in Maine, and I think that's a good case study because they passed it and they legalized it. But what they did was they formed a commission to legalize it, and they passed that law. The constitutional amendment passed in 2016, I think. I just came back from Maine. You still can't buy legal weed in Maine because the commission keeps passing regulations and the governor vetoes the regulations because he was against it. So honestly, just putting in a constitutional amendment may create another 2 to 5 year quagmire like they've been experiencing in Maine. And I appreciate your direct action method of just selling it and screw them.
Yeah, but that's because we don't have citizen initiatives here. They had it in Colorado. That's why they have legalization there. They have it in California. California should have been the first state. It was, Initiative 19. But they rejected it because the northern part of the state, which grew a lot of weed, didn't want the taxes. And the people in the southern part of the state who were just consumers of it, they didn't care about the taxes because they were just buying it. So the northern part of the state defeated it. And eventually it went to they did it again with 64, they called it, and it passed. But you got states like Ohio. Ohio rejected their legalization because the exact same thing that was happening here with Senator Scutari bringing in all these corporate people. And the people of Ohio rejected it because they thought the same thing. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Who are these 10 people? It's 10 people there. We're going to control all of marijuana in Ohio. So the people, like, basically revolted. Like, I'm not supporting that marijuana monopoly. I've been buying it from Joey over around the corner forever. And I want to buy it from Pookie over there. And I want to buy it from Mr. Johnson. I don't want to buy it from the corporate cannabis corporation. So they rejected it. So I don't know. I think getting the right question would work. But above my pay grade, I just know I want legalization. I don't want corporatization. Sometimes I call it Columbusization.
But we got Hugo Gardano in the building, wanted to represent some of these unions and start working. Hopefully it comes through. So Hugh, let everybody know what your perspective on. You have anything to say about the topic?
Sure. Well, I can say this, that the labor movement, specifically the UFCW, has been involved in making sure that workers' rights is part of the conversation. I think the one thing that everybody forgets about is that there's going to be more workers than there are owners at the end of the day. And that's who I care about. And I think that's who we have to care about. And some of the stuff that you had spoken about, putting some add-ons, make sure that they're hiring locally. And that's one of the things that we press with employers. One of the reasons why we want labor language to not only be in the expansion of medical, but also to make sure that it's in adult use. Because I agree, it's a lot of rich people, and you brought up Canada, you have Canopy Growth and all these other huge corporations that are trying, in Canada, they're trying to buy American corporations now. And Canopy is a prime example. Canopy is trying to buy out Acreage Holdings, which is John Boehner's organization. So it's basically the Walmart effect is happening in front of us right now as we speak. And that's why it's important to get ahead of it now, as far as labor law goes. But it gets bigger than that. And I mean, of course, on the union side, it's everybody thinks just workers first. But the union is also a defense against corporate greed that affects patients and people who consume. Part of union standards is working conditions, right? Safe working conditions. And many of the laws prohibit certain pesticides and other chemicals, but laws get broken all the time, you know? So having a union that protects a safe working condition for the workers so they're not using illegal pesticides also protects patients who will then be consuming that medicine. So it's a safety block. It truly is against greed. On all forms, not just economically, but also physically to people who need that medicine.
In the medical right now, have you guys, are you involved in that right now as
yes.
far as working with the
yes.
medical? And how has that been going for the workers now as far
so
as how they're covered?
So as of right now, there's only one dispensary that is unionized in New Jersey, and that's the Garden State Dispensary. The other ones have been
Belmar?
In Woodbridge.
Woodbridge.
Yep. They are unionized. Those workers get, not only do they get $15 an hour prior to the law being passed, those folks get health care, they get sick leave, they get paternity leave, they get retirement. They also have language in that contract that says that when the company makes profit, the workers get bonus checks. And those bonus checks are not $15 or $100 or thousands of dollars per employee. So that means working class people, if they work hard, not only do they get a good wage and benefits, but they work towards, if the profit goes up, so does their check as well. And that's the way it should be, period.
Period. That's great. Let me do a little bit of pay some bills. Our sponsor is bought by Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson, New Brunswick. Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson, New Jersey. Stop out there and check them out. 84 Patterson Street, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hub City Smokes. I almost forgot about it. I still got it wrong. take care of Brian. Take care of all those small things like that. So what's coming up next for you guys, Hugh?
Well, the medical expansion is going to be the next thing everybody knows about. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. I mean the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, but I personally have made it clear to the governor's office, to the assembly, to House Speaker, the assembly, to the Senate, President Sweeney, And to all the other people on the health committees, they know that the UFCW stands behind the workers within this industry. And we are confident that the language that goes in front of the Senate will be complete with workers' protections, which include day one unionization of all the employers coming forward. No more just making deals behind closed doors. And I agree. I do agree with that. I really do think that, you know, big business does what they want. There's a lot of lobbying, a lot of Wall Street, a lot of investment property owners that are buying up these things, and it's a problem. And when it becomes totally corporatized, at the end of the day, the working class people are going to be hurt the most. Mm. But we can set the example now, and not only that, I mean, if we look at it, Stockton is doing his awesome program, which we are going to be working with on the national level too. You have all these young people that are going to school and learning this great trade. And instead of staying here in New Jersey, they have to go to New York or California or other states where there is labor language. This isn't the first state that we've done it in.
Okay.
It makes sure that these workers stay here in New Jersey. Why should we train these folks and they leave to go to New York?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to make sure that these folks stay here that they invest in their community.
Some home rule right there. It's important that we keep these businesses and we're taking care and we're covering people's jobs and careers behind them. There's a lot of people going to be making money that are not from here, but the people that are here, we should have shots at those industries, those jobs on all levels. And I mean, I agree. I would like California or something like that. If I can go out and if I have the opportunity to go out there and the means and the wills to start a business along those lines, I should be given a license and opportunity to do so like anyone else, and not should be excluded for just the few that monopolize the system as it's been monopolized all this time. But this has been a great forum. I'm glad that everyone came out. We want to take some more questions from the crowd. If anybody have any more questions, anything like that? The audience? Anyone?
Well, I have a question. In the medical expansion, is there language in there that actually protects workers outside of the industry, that if you're a medical patient, you can't lose your job, for example?
So in the medical law that's going to be passed, there is language in there. But the question, it's like one sentence where it says patients cannot be, terminated for medical use. It's very basic, but they made it that way because industry is going to have to really deal with that. Now we're going to have to sit down with these union contracts and talk about it, which we've already have done. I mean, and I'll give an example, Melita Coffee, which everybody is down in Cherry Hill. We represent them and we've already had the discussion. We have members that are medical cannabis patients. If they come up positive, how are you going to treat that? And the conversation led to we'll treat it like any other prescription. So we're already having those conversations, but it's very basic, and companies are still going to fire people. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's why we need to make sure that anybody that's not just my union, but all unions, they need to sit down and have conversations with these employers now. The only issue is going to be the federal level, right? If you have a federal job. You're screwed. This Jersey law will not protect you. You will lose your job, and the union won't be able to protect you either.
Just to jump on that for a second, the job protection, just back in April, the New Jersey Appeals Court, in a case called Wild, I had to look it up real fast, I couldn't remember it, called Wild versus Frunerel. The person Wild got fired for a urine test and was a medical marijuana patient, and they took it to the appellate court, and the appellate court ruled in their favor. And I know that I read the decision, I don't remember exactly what it was. He's protected, this person, Justin Wild's protected, anyone in the exact same class as him is protected, but the appellate court was encouraging the legislators to actually put it in writing. So it is coming. Yeah. Job protection is coming. So it's coming. But this case here, it's called Wild versus Bruno.
And I think the other issue with this, too, is, thanks for bringing that up. It's true. I mean, but I guess the other, and you dealt with this more than anybody, and anybody that knows the judicial system, if you get fired from your job, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, unless you can get some type of pro bono attorney to represent you, your union rep, or you have a backbone like this guy over here, you're kind of screwed, right? You can't afford a good attorney. You can't take it to court, and you'll be bullied. And there you go. And that's why it's important to have these conversations. You know, we have to do it together as one labor, legislator, activist, and just regular citizens. I agree.
Oh, it's back to me again. Any more questions out there? That was a good one. Did you have anything else you want to finish us off with?
To the owner, where is the smoke lounge at, buddy? right outside?
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you at the coffee house. Thank you for having us. It's a great venue, man. This is a real nice place, man. I would really tell you, if you went to Edison, stop past here. It's really nice in here. You probably enjoy yourself. The food's good. Had me a nice, good grilled cheese sandwich, thick bread. Awesome. So, you know, Brian, you want to finish up?
I did. We used to have some time here, but I wanted to talk to Ed because, you know, I've been following Ed for like 20 years, and it's really cool to be up on a stage. Thanks for hanging out with us and for supporting New Jersey Revolution Radio. It was cool to see Heather and you write that article. It was great. So, you know, Ed doesn't realize how much of a communist he sounds like sometimes. He tells me he's a libertarian, and I've been telling Ed the reason why he's mad at all these people calling him racist is because you're hanging out with the wrong people, Ed, all right? Because what you're really doing, Ed, when you defend the black market is you're defending your labor. And I think what you're saying, people think of a drug dealer as a drug dealer, and we have this stereotypical image of a drug dealer as a guy that sits in his mom's basement and eats a lot of munchies, plays video games, and sells you a dime bag when he shows up. Now, first off, that sounds like a great life, all right? So I don't know why we put that down. Okay. Well, those are the drug dealers I bought my stuff from.
The weed guy is not a drug dealer. He's not
there you selling, go. That's yeah. what I'm saying, and that's what I'm saying, yeah. and that's what you're saying. You're
He's
saying
the good guy.
This is the good guy, and not only this is that's his why, job.
Yo, I was it's really offended when Murphy said a few months ago. Who remembered Murphy said? That we're going to take the weed out of the bad guy's hands and we're going to give it to the good guys. I was like, what?
But he's playing into that stereotypical
I wanted
image.
To go throw eggs at the state house for that.
But what you're saying is, look, it's just a job. You got to get it. You got to package it. You got to distribute it. You got to transport it. You got to take on all the risk of being arrested. This is like any other profession. It's a craft. And you know what? When I used to buy weed as a kid, it was I bought whatever the guy had.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, in these black market scenarios, and I'm listening to, you know, this guy stand there and say, oh, yeah, this has this much CAC. If you got a bad back, you can take this. This is better for your head. It's a TV will get you higher, and indica will get you lower. Man, I used to just buy some weed.
Yeah.
And now being a cannabis supplier is a profession, it's a craft, it's a skill. We have a doctor on stage with us talking about this program. This is a profession like any other labor that should be respected, and I hope that someday you realize you sound like a communist, because I still have hope for you, brother. I still do.
Hey, listen, look. Nowadays, like I said earlier, you can use social media, and you can find yourself a good weed man right on social media. But it's and you're right. You go look at one person's page and they got some crappy weed and there's only one strain, and you look at somebody else's, they got two or three strains, they got chocolates, they got candies, they got gummies, they got this. You go to that guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happens, you know? And your weed man is still your good guy. He's not supposed to tell on your weed man. Nobody tells on the weed man. You can tell on the coke man, tell on the heroin man, but don't tell on the weed man. The weed man's your neighborhood, your neighborhood good guy. Right? He's smiling back there, man. I'm beginning to think you got that little under the counter spot, man. He's up there smiling, and I'm saying the weed guy's the good guy. He's smiling like, I am. Like, what? No, I'm just joking with you, man. I'm joking. Don't come to my counter, though. There's too many drawers underneath there.
Speaking of that. state of New Jersey and its current marijuana status. I know you just was talking about different things. Is New Jersey a place where a lot of good marijuana happens? Is this an area, a hub for the best of the best?
It's a consumer state. There's very little growing here. It's coming from California, Colorado, West Virginia. It's coming. And it's being, there's 9 million people here, and there's a whole lot of potheads here. It's coming. I mean, it's...
So it's just coming, and it's here necessarily. Like,
no, there's no growing here. It's coming from everywhere else.
I'm baffled by that. That, you know, I'm thinking like, all right, where are you? How do we?
It's coming. And wait a minute. You know what's popping up now more and more? Weed from Maine. I know somebody right now who's getting pounds of weed from Maine. And, you know, I never even thought about getting weed from Maine. I mean, I used to drive to Arizona and California. And I was like, what? I could have went to Maine? I could have been back within 20 hours.
No, they've been perfecting it up there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Man, I got some cookies and cream.
Yeah. And I got some weed from, I don't know if it was Kentucky or West Virginia, but it was as crappy as Mexican weed, though. Mm. But they're trying in West Virginia, too. You know, there's certain parts of West Virginia, it's growing wild everywhere. I mean, I guess that's CBD, but it's hemp. But you go around the Potomac River when it goes up into the mountains of West Virginia, it's wild weed. Thousands and thousands. Every September, the West Virginia State Police bust people who come there just to harvest it. Mm. Did you know about that? Google it. Everything can be Googled. But sometimes they call it ditch weed, but it's actually marijuana. It is marijuana. It's not hemp. It has. No. During the war era or somehow. Maybe it's the Monticello, maybe it's the George Washington's weed, whatever. But the headwaters of the Potomac River has a lot of wild weed, grows every single year. The Potomac starts in West Virginia, in the hills of West Virginia. So all over that part is a couple parks. I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but it's a couple parks that is growing thousands of pounds of weed, and they station state troopers in West Virginia to stop people from picking the wild-grown weed, and people are harvesting that. We get the right amount of it. I mean, it's bullshit weed. I mean, it's not the 20% THC levels that you're getting from California, but it's probably in the same range as the 6% of Mexican brick weed.
So, do we need? You don't need a license to grow hemp, though.
Not now. I don't know the status of New Jersey.
There's a pilot program that passed.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
but certain states, yeah, there were. I knew they were working on it. Yeah,
okay.
But certain states.
Certain states, Colorado, Kansas, wherever, they're growing hemp like crazy out there. That's where all the CBD is coming from, if it's not coming from China.
Yeah, I believe that the Department of USDA just passed sort of national permission to grow hemp, and currently New Jersey is awaiting for the federal approval of its guidelines, and they promising to release it in the fall of 2019. We right now have pilot programs, but we do not have the actual guidelines, so everything is on hold right now.
That's interesting.
Is that something you're watching, Hugh?
Yeah.
Growing in Cumberland County and Salem County.
Why not? That's where it could be. That's where it should be grown at. Because I was in Salem County and Cumberland County the last month, and there's nothing but marsh and open space and everything out there.
There's a whole lot of corn growing there and blueberries and all that.
And South Jersey is a very poor, down that area is very, it's very poor.
Very poor.
It's very poor. It's been forgotten about. A lot of immigrants, a lot of African-American. There's a lot of factories and warehouses that are shut down, and they're old glass warehouses, glaziers, back in the day. You could do hemp investment in dramatically.
I was in front of it yesterday. The thing is huge. I mean, it's a big empty in Salem, a glass company in Salem.
And we're talking about the cannabis industry. You know, about the environmental issue. I mean, you're absolutely right. Pre-rolls and all that stuff. I mean, they come in the plastic tubes and people just toss them. And it's like soda bottles, you know. Hemp can, we can make hemp plastic right here in New Jersey from start to finish, seed to sale. Hemp and cannabis. There's no reason why we can't control that entire industry, not just in the United States, but globally, you know?
Hemp is also widely used for bioremediation. We do have a lot of contaminated sites in New Jersey, and guess where they are? A lot of South Jersey, a lot of poor communities, and there is a lot of interest, I think, in exploring that potential. There is also a lot of material science connected to hemp, not just fiber, but like plastics and all the other materials. Like I know Jefferson is doing. They have like a pilot program, I think, in Kentucky, and we have an agreement with them, but they're doing all sorts of interesting things with hemp materials. So yeah, I think it's really a great potential for industry which is environmentally friendly, because you know hemp can very easily be grown organically. It's naturally pest resistant. It doesn't really require much, and I mean it really can be a very useful thing, I think, in the state.
So I'm hoping for that now. I've seen hemp used as rope and everything. You can just name so many different products that you can
gasoline now. They can make gasoline and batteries out of it now. I mean it's amazing what they're doing with it. I mean, not only that, just think about, I mean, again, feed for cattle. Hemp is used for bedding and for feed. And cattle produces a lot of the gases that we're breathing in each day that, you know, cause global warming.
Yeah, paper.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yep. Absolutely. It's going to be a bigger market than cannabis probably in the long run when it comes down to it, because cannabis, even though it's great, you know, and it provides so much for medicine and for social, hemp is going to do everything. It's going to gasoline, brick and mortar, papers and environmental fixes. I mean, it's going to be huge.
Will that be open?
Well, yet. I mean, it's going to be when it.
Yeah, it was around the time when they developed this method of making paper out of like decorticated hemp. Yeah, so there's this wonderful conspiracy theory.
I know you poo-pooed the, you know, the CBD, you know, medical benefits thing before.
But for
me personally, and it could be snake oil, but it helped me like with my back. And anti-inflammatory is what they say, you know, the whole thing or whatever. I started taking it for my back.
I'm getting on board.
So I started because I have no feeling in my legs. I got 3 blown out discs. So the guy came in here to try to sell it to me. He said, try it. I tried it. He said, how you feeling? I said, I feel the same. He said, just keep taking it. I woke up one morning and I said, did I hit my knee? What's wrong with my knee? Like something's bothering me. You know, it hurt, and I'm saying I didn't bang it, whatever. Turns out I got torn cartilage in my knee. I didn't even know. I was starting to get some feeling back in my knee. So I call up the guy. I'm like, dude, you got anything for knees? And he's like, just keep taking it. But I take, I have like the start of emphysema in my lungs from being in construction for many years, and I have taken inhalers for the rest of my life. My kid noticed a couple of months after I started taking the CBD that my I wasn't coughing. So it's been about 6 months. I haven't even taken any inhalers. But I always say, I don't know if it's from that. It might be coincidence. It might be snake oil. Who knows? But, like, I'm just going to keep doing it. But, like, it's I choose not to smoke marijuana. I don't care if anybody else does. Doesn't bother me. I think it should be legalized. I think everybody should have access to it. Me personally, I don't. I did it when I was younger. Just never. I personally didn't like the feeling of it. And but that's my choice. But I don't want somebody else making a choice. If I wanted to, I want to be able to. So that's.
Most people feel too. My mother, for instance, never smoked weed. Used to really be mad.
her son to be victimized by the government. But my mother is technically for legalization too. Mm-hmm. She doesn't smoke weed or anything like that. And a lot of people are like that. But that's why I kept saying if a jury nullification would work, if you kind of like put that as your defense when you're arrested, you present it to your jury that, hey, I'm not wrong. The law's wrong. I'm just like your brother, your sister, and your cousin that smoke weed too. And hey, they shouldn't put me in prison. And that's how it works, because a lot of people feel that way.
I moved down to Red Bank about almost 3 years ago. And all my neighbors are in their 30s. They're all young people. Mm-hmm. They barely drink. Everybody smokes.
Yeah.
I have a 16-year-old son. He sees it. We don't make a big deal out of it. I never told him he couldn't do it. But I know it's going to happen. And if I make it a big deal, then he's going to want to do it even more. But he needs to figure this out for himself. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to allow him because he's 16. You know, still against the law. You know, it's just like drinking. I'm not going to let him drink. He's not 21.
Right.
Is it going to kill him? No, but that's the thing. But it's not, to me, it's not a big deal. Like,
I think that's where normalization comes into it, right? Where it's perfectly normal for my dad to sit in front of me and drink a beer as I grew up, right? It's perfectly normal for these things. So cannabis normalization and having it in your home, you know, like if you're a cannabis smoker, you have a little place in your house with a weed leaf over it, and you invite people when they come in. Hey, if you smoke, go smoke. And so smokers who kind of make it normal and bring it into the culture, I think that's what you're looking for, because it makes a difference. I had to explain to my children, I take marijuana for medical reasons, you know, and it was a weird discussion because I didn't want to tell my kids I was smoking weed, but they smell it. Kids are smart, and you notice. And your 8-year-old picks up on it and says, Dad, what's that smell? Well, now I got to sit down. And I tell you, I was really nervous, and I was, but it turned out to be one of the better father-son conversations I've ever had. We talked about drugs. We talked about heroin. We talked about how drugs destroy people. We talked about how abusive drugs. And so it really, from making it normal, from saying, okay, like this isn't this wacky thing that only bad people do. It's a normal thing that millions and millions of people do. It made that conversation with my son that much easier. But I have those same, you know, I'm a parent and father too. I don't want my kids running around wasting their lives, you know, because they get caught up in drugs and it winds up. And, you know, I've seen pot have negative effects too.
That's what my discussion with my son was. It wasn't about him experimenting with marijuana. It's everything else. You know, I got to have the discussion with him saying, you got to know where it's coming from. You got to know, like, you know, I got scared. I went to a seminar on, you know, when they were talking about fentanyl. I never even heard of it. Like, and now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm afraid for him to make the wrong decision. But I trust him. He's smart enough, hopefully, not to make that decision. But like, by knowing that he tried this, it got to open up a little bit of a dialogue of, you know, and he knows that I'm scared. Not that I made him scared, but like, maybe a little bit more aware of everything else. And I don't like when people say that marijuana is a gateway drug, because it's, you know, it wasn't for me when I was doing it. So
well, it wasn't for me either.
It was long. It was late for me. I was like 27 or 26, you know, because I was an athlete. I always thought, you know, alcohol, all that stuff. I'm like, I'm not putting none of that stuff in my body. You know, I got to be great and be, you know. So that was my mindset for a very long time, that I'm not putting nothing in me that's not good for me. But marijuana is good for you, though.
As I grew up, when I was a kid, I did Aperlin, I did Primatine Mist. I can't even name how many of those things I did. Primatine Mist, I used to do Primatine Mist. It made my heart race and gave me a headache. Yeah, when I did Aperlin, it made my eyes that big. I could feel my heart beating. And by accident, and I say by accident, I don't mean like I tripped and fell and a joint fell in my mouth, but by accident, peer pressure, my cousin was smoking a joint, with like three of his friends, and I was there. I was like, next thing you know, they're passing to me, and I had already tried to smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And cigarettes always triggered my asthma. It always made me cough. How, for 2 days, I'd have a wheezing and everything. And I remember when my cousin passed me the joint, that's what I was worried about, that I was going to be wheezing the next day. Wait a minute, I didn't cough. I passed it when I came back around. I took a bigger hit, and I didn't cough. I didn't gag. And then that pleasurable sensation happened a little while later. But right then, I knew somebody lied to me, because this is better than this is better than cigarettes. That's how I remember it. At 14, that's what I thought. Oh, wait a minute.
So one question I do have with that, and this was the, like I said, the guy that came in to sell me the CBD, and I sell a lot of it, and people come in and we sell it for benefits, you know, the medical benefits. I don't sell like like the convenience stores, like cherry and strawberry. This is just, and it's water soluble, mixed in a drink, it absorbs into your body, and you get benefits from it.
You do CBD smoothies?
We put it in everything. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But we were talking one day, and he said, I'm just going to ask you a question, and you probably can't even answer it, but like, and it sounds pretty weird or morbid or whatever, but he said, just think about it. How many true potheads that you've known in your lifetime have died from cancer?
Oh.
And I was like, and he's like, you're probably not going to think of too many, because there's got to be something there about the health benefits of the cannabinoids and everything that go into your system that are triggering the cannabinoid system in your body.
Well, there,
you know,
all
that's what I'm looking into now.
There are all types of science out there that shows, and even when we say cannabis, that includes the CBD family,
right, yeah,
too. It's all of it, right?
Well, yeah, same family.
Yeah,
so
it they have proven that it shrinks or slows the growth of tumors, right? And I have a condition. I actually wondered several times, like, what if when I was 14 I rejected and never smoked weed, and then as I got older, when my bone conditions popped up, would they have gotten cancerous? Would I have more of them? Like what would happen? Now, every couple of years, I get a tumor or something pop up. And I had one in my knee one time. It stayed the same size for like 4 years. And I used to I used to discuss it with my doctor. I would say, I think it's because I smoke so much weed, it's not getting any bigger. And they were like, man, should we get it cut out? Should we not? And guess what happened? I got locked up in Burlington County for 9 months for weed. When I got out, I had to get the tumor taken out, because it got so big, it started hurting and everything. It was like, it took it out, and then my leg broke. So I ended up with a broken femur. And I still blame it on Judge Delahy, because he locked me up on a weed charge.
Now there is a thing in our body.
From using weed.
There is a thing in our body called the cannabinoid system.
Yes.
That we don't feed it unless we give it cannabis.
Yeah.
And it heals. It helps your body heal. I mean, at least that's what I'm looking into. Like I said, could also be snake oil. Mm-hmm. But
I believe.
But there's something. There's just something about it. And THC, no THC, that's the question.
Well, like I said, in the beginning, when I first started hearing about this weed that didn't have THC in it, I just thought, bullshit. Who wants to smoke that?
It costs more,
backyard
too.
Backyard boogie. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's not costing more.
Yeah.
But you know what I find funny? That people are paying the same amount for it. Like I said, I just bought 2 pounds of CBD bud, right? And a friend of mine in Philly, he said, dude, you can sell it for $40 an ounce. I mean, $40 a gram. And I was like, $40 an eighth. And I was like, well, I'm selling THC for $30. And he's like, no. He's like, man, they want it. This is what they want. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But people are, that's what they're wanting.
Well, like I said, all I can say is, and I can't tell anybody that it's definitely going to help them, because the FDA or whatever won't approve it, so you can't tell somebody it's definitely going to help. You can say my experiences, or this is the experience of other people.
Hey man, it's a great conversation going on right there, man. I was all into that conversation.
No, it's making me want to go home and smoke my.
I know, you know, it was the
We're having a special on CBD tonight.
Slow down. We went through CBDs. Man. Hey, man. Again.
Turn that camera on. Turn that
All right. Wait, we want to thank our sponsor, Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson Street, New Brunswick. Again, check them out. You know, they behind New Jersey Revolution Radio and supporting us. We continue supporting us. Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson Street, New Brunswick, New Jersey. I'd like to thank Ed Fortune, a.k.a. the Weed Man, Miss Kathy Sadia, and the Coffee House. I forgot his name.
That's all right. And make sure that if you're at home, of course, if you're left over here, we have some jars here. I looked in there. I want to thank the people that left some stems and seeds and shit in there. But could you put some money in there? I'd appreciate that. We run on donations.
That's funny. See, you thought it was funny.
You can go to www.njrevolutionradio.com, make a donation. We're grassroots. We don't take corporate money. We don't have big industry behind us. We've been lucky enough to be supported by small businesses tonight. The Joint, NJ Weedman, Hugh, Dr. Sadia, thanks for being here tonight.
Yes,
thanks for
tuning
in.
About you. Thank you.
We'll see you next time on New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Before you go,
you can
also bring a community cannabis forum to your community if you want.
That's true.
You can reach out to us at info@njrevolutionradio.com and help us set one up. No matter where your community is, we can travel the show around the state and, you know, help bring this information. Absolutely, we can do that.
Trend coming up soon. Trend coming up soon.
We got Trenton. No, we got Tweet. We'll be in Trenton real soon.
Real soon. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.